has climbed every mountain, no matter how high. He has conquered the planets from sky to sky. But there is one place where man has not been, and that's where my Lord said he's buried my sin. There in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as the east is from west, far away from all power and principality. My sins are in the depths of the sea. Gone are the shackles, and gone are the stains. I'm free from the bondage, free from the chains. My sins are separated like darkness from dawn. Praise God, I'm forgiven. My sins are all gone. They're in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as the east is from west, far away from all power and principality. My sins are in the depths of the sea, far away from all power and principality. My sins are in the depths of the sea.
Now, they're not just in the depths of the sea. They're put as far away as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. That's the reason some of us, we need to get out of living this past thing. If you're a child of God, those sins have already been forgiven. You keep bringing them up before God. Listen, the thing about it is, He's already forgot those. Those have already been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Boy, good song. Glory to God. I told you, I'm fired up this morning. And I'm excited. You say, what's so big of it? Look at life. Look at the economy. Hey, I'm saved. Glory to God. And that has to amount for something, doesn't it? That counts for something. And, you know, when we wake up every morning, we ought to wake up and thank God that we live in America. Thank God that we are in a situation that, listen, two-thirds of the world is not in the type of situation that we're in. They live literally in poverty. We have a lot to be thankful for. Take your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. This morning, technically, ends our missions conference, and I don't want to miss the opportunity about talking to our folks about missions, and we'll cover a few other things here in just a moment. But it's been a great last few days. International supper last night, and just the testimonies last night, and boy, I'm telling you, maybe that's the reason I'm so fired up. I'm just so full, man. You know, after you get so full and stuff, you got to release. I'm going to release this morning. So our deacons have been trying to get me to put seat buckles on these pews. And I hadn't quite gotten there yet, but that we might need them this morning. Have you found your place? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now listen to this statement. Because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. When Jesus Christ came into this world, He came, the Scripture says, to seek and to save that which was lost. He was focused. He knew what His purpose was. He was sent from the Father, and He accomplished that purpose. And I want to take this verse today and that phrase, because as He is, so are we in this world. And you'll understand when I move on a little bit in the message, understand the title. I want to speak to you this morning about non-sufficient funds. Non-sufficient funds. Father, would you bless now our time, and thank you for the privilege to be in church. We do count it a privilege. We don't want to take it for granted. And Father, we have an opportunity this morning to do something great for God in the short time that we have. I don't know that this might be the last service that some may be in attendance, Lord, before they see you face to face. And I pray that they'd take advantage of it this morning. Please have your way now. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. A number of years ago, my bank contacted me and by mail, and I opened up the mail, and they had written a letter there saying that I had written checks for payment on items but didn't have sufficient funds to cover them. Now, I just want to stop and say here, I don't make that a habit. All right, that's the first time and only time that's ever happened to me, but I'm going to explain to you how it happened. And so they gave me, and we always got an explanation, right? But this is actually a legitimate explanation. A short time after that, I got another letter. Maybe a day or two after that, I got several letters, and in them I opened up and had my check in there, and on my check, they had the audacity to stamp a big old NSF on my check. I mean, it was a big old NSF on my check. You know what? They wanted to make sure I knew that you wrote a check on an account where there were no funds available. You wrote a check on an account, there was nothing there. So I knew that something was wrong. Plus, when I started to see, they charged me $30 for every NSF. And so I thought, no, something's wrong. This has never happened to me before. Something's wrong. So I went down to the bank and I began to talk with them. And I told them, I said, listen, something wrong. And of course, you can always see their face like, yeah, we hear this story every day. But we'll go ahead and listen to your story anyway. And I told them, I said, listen, I don't know what the problem is. I've never written a hot check before. And I've written, all of a sudden, I'm starting to get checks back. And I don't know why. And they said, well, Mr. Lassiter, they checked my account. They said, it shows right here that there's not enough funds to cover these checks that you've been written or they've been writing. And I turned and I said, well, listen, something's wrong because I've got record. I've made deposits. And I had my deposits right there and my deposit slips. Now, what I found out was that about 2 weeks or so before, I had gone to the bank and made a deposit. And the problem was is that the teller who typed in my account number missed my account number by one digit. So my deposit went into someone else's account. And they're shouting glory to God. And so we found that out, and I said, okay, well, how are we going to fix this? They said, well, it's going to take some time to fix this. And I said, well, first of all, I want these NSF fees taken off of my account. So they took all of those off. And I said, now, what am I supposed to do? And they said, well, Mr. Lassiter, we'll correct the error. We'll restore all the NSF fees, but you're still going to have to deal with the people that you wrote the checks to. And I thought to myself, boy, this is going to be a hassle. And so I kind of got frustrated, but you know what? Most of all, I was embarrassed. I was frustrated, I was embarrassed, because then I became humiliated because some of the checks I wrote to people I knew. And the funds weren't there. And so I had to go back and say, listen, hey, listen, I had a bank error, I'm getting all this fixed up. Listen, that non-sufficient funds, that's coming off my record. Finally, we got all this fixed, but it took some time. It took some time to correct those non-sufficient funds and all of the things that were coming back. Now, I want to say to you, one other thing that I had to address was is that these non-sufficient funds also hit my credit rating. You see, what I'm saying to you this morning is that it was a simple, what seemed to be a simple problem, mutated into all these other problems. Until eventually my credit was hit. My credibility now was at stake because of a mistake on someone else's part. Now I want to just say that those who regularly are being hit with NSFs, You're going to find out then in the long run it's going to cost you more in the long run than it did if you just went ahead and taken care of it right then. You see, many times the credit rating puts you, because of these NSFs, they'll put you in a different interest bracket. And what happens is in the long run, when you go to make another purchase or you go to make another investment, they're going to look at that. And that's going to determine at that point how far they're going to let you go as far as the purchase. You say, preacher, why are you telling us all this? Because I want to make a spiritual application for just a moment this morning. I want to remind you that 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth. He came down to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He came, listen to me, as a not just a deposit, but a payment for the sins of the whole world. Can I tell you something? That when Jesus came to this earth, the Scripture says in John 1:14, it says, "And the world was made flesh, or the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the only glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, Jesus lived a sinless life, a perfect life. Jesus lived on this earth for 33 plus years and never walked a crooked step, never said a wrong word. You see, He came to seek the lost, to live that perfect life. And through that sinless life, you can be saved today. I want to say to you that God the Father allowed His only Son to be beaten, to be humiliated, to be crucified as the acceptable payment for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2 says, "And He is the propitiation." He was the appeasement. He was the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, listen now, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. You see, Jesus was God's payment for our sins. The funds were present when the payment was made. You see, the thing about it is, when a sinner calls on Christ, can I say to you that God doesn't have to say, "I need to check and see if there's available funds in order to make the application to your soul." No, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died, the funds are there. All of the love of God, all of the mercy of God, all of the grace of God was invested in His only begotten Son. And there He died and made the payment for your sins today. I'm here to tell you, dear folks, there was no NSF on God's account. All the grace of God, all the mercy, all the long-suffering, all the love of God was deposited into the life of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today that when Jesus cried, "It is finished," the payment was complete. The funds were present. The transaction was completed. Everything went through according to plan. There was no NSF on God's account. You see, the reason I know it is because that when Jesus died and He went to a grave, He validated that the funds were present when He resurrected, ascended, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. I'm telling you that the work of Jesus Christ for sinners didn't have to be run through twice to clear. It cleared the first time. Why? Because the funds were present. God had invested everything in order to save sinners. Wasn't no NSF on God's account. But I just wonder today and make some applications here. You know, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you notice our text verse here? It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." Flip over, if you would, a page and look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God." Listen to this statement. "For God is love." So here's the first question I want to ask you this morning. I want to ask you this morning, how is your love account? How is your love account this morning? Have you made any deposits lately into that love account? Where's your love for God today? I wonder if we went over and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 8, the Scripture there talks about proving the sincerity of your love. I wonder how many of us are making any deposits whatsoever into our love account. You say, "Preacher, how do I do it?" Well, first of all, you need to read the Word of God. And you know what the Word of God will tell you? The Word of God will tell you the condition of this world. It'll tell you about the depravity and the lost condition of people. It'll tell you that people die without Christ. And if they don't know Jesus, they split hell wide open. So, old preacher, I don't like to hear that word. Well, you better get to learn to hear it because it's truth and it's Bible. And it's a real place. I'm not going to hedge around it. Jesus spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. Why? Because he didn't want people to go there. You see, I'm just asking you this morning, where is your love account, child of God? Where is it today? What's invested? Have you made a deposit? Where's your love for God today? Listen, if God had to make a withdrawal out of your love account to love hurting Christians, if God had to make a withdrawal out of your love account to love a lost soul, would it clear or would you get back an NSF on it? Non-sufficient funds to love people. Non-sufficient funds to love sinners. I wonder if God had to make a withdrawal out of your love account in order to love a homeless person or in order to love a little simple orphan boy or orphan girl that has no parents or doesn't even know their parents. I wonder if there would be enough to clear. I wonder if there'd be enough love that you've instilled and that you've deposited into that love account to say, you know what, come on, Lord, you can depend on me. I'll love those orphans. I'll love those sinners. I'll love those people. God wanted to make a withdrawal. I wonder if he could pull something out of your love account or if he'd get an NSF. You see, what I'm saying to you today, child of God, is this. Too many of God's people, the only time there is no NSF that appears on their account is when it has something to do with them. They always have something available when it comes down to something we want. Do you realize that 53% of the world's income goes through the hands of professing believers? But out of that 53%, 99% of that money they spend on themselves. 0.1% is spent on reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you listen to me. That's a shame unto God. Shame unto God. And yet here we are today. People out there need to be loved. People need to be cared for. There's people are hurting. People have gone through situations in life. They don't need to be criticized. They don't need to have their problems thrown up in their face. They need somebody to love them. Listen to me. And God needs to love them through you. That's the reason your account needs to be filled this morning. Sadie, you told me that we get it through the reading of the Word of God. Yeah, you get it through reading the Word of God. You also get it by fellowshipping with people. I've never understood people that say they're a child of God, but they want to distance themselves from believers. They don't ever want to be around the people of God. Matter of fact, I get disturbed when they're more comfortable about being with people of the world than they are the people of God. You say, how can that happen, preacher? Not much love in that love account. You see, the thing about it is most of us this morning, if we had to face our God today, there'd be an NSF on your account today. We're so hard today. We're so unconcerned. We're so indifferent about people. Tell you today, you can sit there and watch somebody have an accident, two cars crash, and the first thing we do is honk our horn and yell at them for having the accident. That's how hard we are today. We don't care. Most people don't care about people. Listen, that ought not to be the testimony of a child of God. I just want to say this one, how is your love account? You got an NSF this morning? You know what it ought to do? It ought to convict us. It ought to embarrass us. It ought to humiliate us before our God. Because God, listen to me now, the only hands God has is your hands. The only voice that he has is your voice. The only ears and eyes that he has are your ears and eyes. The only feet that he has is your feet. You say, well, he can come down and love them if he wants to. No, he's going to love them through you or they won't be loved. It's going to be through you. I just want to ask, how's your love account? I want to ask, number two, how's your giving account? Amen. You say, oh, preacher, I love God. Okay, now I'll tell you what. Let me look at your checkbook, and let's find out where most of your checks are being written. I'll tell you who you love. Amen. So See, I told you I'm fired up this morning. And the thing about it is when we start talking about money, everybody tightens up. Don't tighten up. You don't tighten up at the grocery store. You don't tighten up when you go buy a car. You don't go tighten up when you pay your mortgage. Glory to God, that's true. Don't stiffen up. Hey, we're talking about the things of God. That car is going to burn up. That house is going to burn up. After you're dead and gone, all the people that you tried to take keep money from, they're going to get it all. Might as well make an investment. Invest in people. Hey, I just want to know, how's your love account, but how's your giving account this morning? You see, our giving to something or someone will be in direct proportion to our love for that something or someone. We give according as we love. Hey, I give to my wife because I love her. I give to my kids and grandkids because I love them. I give to the Lord through my local church because I love Him. I give my tithe because I love God. I give my Faith Promise Missions because I love God. You say, well, preacher, I can't love without giving. Try that on your wife, guys. Tell her all you want that you love her. Never give anything to her and see how that flies. That's going to be like a lead balloon. See, I've been married 33 years. That don't work. I've tried it. Don't work. See, the truth of the matter is, you know what we are? We're cheapskates. Come on. Hey, I've been down this road. It's okay. Hey, we're in church. Might as well tell the truth, right? We're cheapskates. You know what we do? We go out many times and look for a card for somebody. We're trying to find one a 99 cent or less. Hey, I'm just telling the truth. But you know something? You know where that carries over to? It carries over to the church as well. We think that just because we flip a quarter or a dollar in the offering plate that God ought to pay attention to us because, hey, look, I gave something to missions. No, to whom much is given, much is required. You see, I just want to know how's your love account this morning, but I also want to know how's your giving account. I want to look at a group of people, if I could. Turn, if you would, real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to look at a group of people right here that gave, and I want you to notice the terminology that describes them. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 2. Well, I'll tell you, let me read verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Now, I don't know what's going on here, but it sounds like whoever's giving here is happy about it. It says that their great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, sounds to me like they didn't have a lot to give, but they gave anyway. It says, abound unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing. I said they were willing of themselves. You know what they could? They could have kept back. They could have kept back 99%. But you know what? They saw the need of other people and of other churches and souls, and they gave to try to reach those people. Hey, I just want to say to you this morning, if God tried to make a withdrawal out of your giving account to world missions or to the bus ministry to reach souls around the world, I wonder if he'd get an NSF. Non-sufficient funds. Would God get a stop payment request from some? If he wanted to make a withdrawal out of your account to reach souls, don't tell me you love God and love souls and don't give a dime to reach people. Don't tell me. I'm not buying that. They say in Mississippi, that's baloney. I just want to know, how's your giving account to church ministry? How's your giving account to world evangelism? How's your giving account to service and time for God? Hey, if God called you to ministry today and He spoke to you, would He get an NSF there? Would He give a stop payment there? Unavailable. You see, the scripture says, so as He is, so are we in this world. He loved people. You know what? When people came to Jesus and they dipped into that love account, there was no NSF there. Funds were always available. You see, the thing about it is when it came to giving,
And they came to Jesus. No NSF there. Funds always available.
I'm just asking us this morning, if you're a child of God, how's your love account? How's your giving account? And then I want to say also to those here this morning that maybe you don't know the Lord. I want to ask you, how's your soul account? How's your soul account? Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says this, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What good is a full bank account if your soul account is empty this morning? When death comes and you face your God, will there be an NSF on your spiritual account, on your soul's account? You see, the thing about it is, I don't know, but I just have a sneaky suspicion that there are some that are facing death and they're satisfied with their life, but they have no funds to cover their soul. They may have money in the bank account, but where's that going after you die? Hey, you can be rich in all the things of this world and be an absolute pauper when it comes for your time to die. And when you die after this, the judgment. You see, when death comes, you're going to face God. Don't let there be an NSF on your account. You say, "Oh, I don't want to, preacher." Then you know what? The funds are available. They have always been made available to you. They've always been available for your soul. All you have to do is receive Jesus Christ and make the deposit into your soul today. I just want to know, has there been a deposit of salvation through Jesus Christ made into your soul account? Has the blood of Jesus Christ applied to the doorpost of your soul? I want to say the only deposit that's going to be acceptable to God is Jesus Christ. Listen to me, by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Only the finished work of Calvary. You see, what I'm saying to you today, my dear friend, is so many people are trying to make deposits into their account that are non-sufficient. They're trying to deposit church membership. They're trying to deposit baptism. They're trying to deposit good works. They're trying to deposit anything and everything except Jesus. And when they die, there's going to be an NSF on their account. They're going to look at their Maker and He's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." You say, "Oh, but Lord, you don't understand." Oh, no, I understand. I've already checked your account out. There's no funds there. There's no blood there. There's no salvation there. There's no faith there. You say, "What happens to those people if the NSF comes back?" Oh, they're going to be more than humiliated. They're going to be more than embarrassed. They're going to be lost forever. And ever and ever. What will it be today, child of God? Check your love account out. Check your giving account out. What will it be today, dear friend, that may not know Jesus Christ? What's it going to be today? Check your soul account out. Will there be an NSF if God wants you? If death comes to you today, will there be a non-sufficient funds applied to your account? Say, "Preacher, I think I'm saved." No, you can't face death thinking. The scripture says that you can know that you're saved. Hey, listen, I know that I'm saved just as much as I know what my name is. Just as I know that what this pulpit is made of wood. I know I'm saved. Why? Because I've come the Bible way. 27 years ago, I made a deposit into my account of my soul. It was the deposit of Jesus Christ. It was the deposit of the shed blood of Christ. It was a deposit into my account. And if I face my God today, that glory to God, listen, not going to be an NSF on that account. If you're a child of God this morning, you say, "Preacher, I don't have an NSF against my soul," but you may against your love account. And you may against your giving account. Hey, folks, listen, people are without God. They're without Christ. Does anyone care? Does anyone care? Does anyone care about people that are dying with Jesus, about without Christ? Does anybody care about little old boys and girls who are orphans? Some of them never known their parents. Some of them were picked up on the street from Christians while their parents were trying to sell them as slaves on the street.
Some of them were found in trash dumpsters. Some of them were found just roaming the streets. Some of them were picked up as little babies that were born and thrown into a trash can. I'm just asking you. Check your giving account. Check your love account out this morning. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, check your soul account. Because I'm afraid there's too many NSFs here. And when we face God, child of God, it's going to be more than humiliation. It's going to be more embarrassment. I hope that you're not prepared to face God with an NSF on your love account, on your giving account, or on your soul account. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around. How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm a Christian, no question about it. There's no NSF on my soul. There's no non-sufficient funds on my soul. Hey, listen, the blood of Christ has been applied to me, and I remember the day that I put my faith and trust in Jesus. And you say, preacher, that's me. No question about it. I'm saved. If Jesus came back today, I'm going up with Him. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. Not ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it this morning. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, there were a few hands that could not be raised. And you know, my burden and my heart this morning is simply that if there's a child of God here today that has insufficient funds and non-sufficient funds on their love account, they haven't been loving people, they haven't been caring about souls, they haven't been caring about the hurting, they haven't been caring about the brethren, that this morning would be the morning that they would come and repent of that and start making deposits into their love account. Maybe there are some children of God this morning that have not been giving to their local church to support the ministries, to reach people in our local area. And then maybe there's some that have not been giving to world missions. And Lord God, that they haven't been reaching people worldwide through missions and through worldwide evangelism. I pray that they would come this morning and repent and get right and do the right thing. And then, Lord, I think there might be some here today that have an NSF on their soul account, that if they faced You this morning, they could honestly say they would see the face of Jesus. I pray that they would come. Please don't let them leave today without knowing Christ. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, there were two or three hands that could not be raised. I wonder if you'd let me pray for you. I wonder if you'd allow me this morning to lift up a prayer before God on your behalf this morning. And you say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. I got to be honest with you. I've got an NSF on my soul account this morning. You say, preacher, I need prayer. Please pray for me, preacher. No one's looking but me. And you say, pray for me. If you couldn't raise your hand just a moment ago, but you'd raise it now and allow me to pray for you. You say, preacher, that's me. I want you to just slip your hand up. Nobody's looking at me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. God bless you and you. Who will join these three? God bless you. There's four. Who will join these four and say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. There's five. All right, you can put your hand down. Who will join these five and say, preacher, that's me. I got an NSF on my account. Got an NSF on my soul account. I don't know for sure, preacher, if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. All right, who will join these six? You can put your hand down. Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. Listen, you can't afford to face God with non-sufficient funds of the blood of Christ on your account, because the Bible says from that point on, it's without God in hell forever. Listen, don't take that chance this morning. Who will join these six? Say, that's me. That's me. Anybody else? All right. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I've already accepted the Lord. I've already put my faith and trust in Christ, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know the Bible teaches it. Please pray. That's the next step for me, Lord, or preacher, that I need to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Slip your hand way up high. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you. There's six right there. Who will join these six and say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I need to be baptized. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Just slip it up, slip it right back down. Anybody like that? All right. Then I wonder if there might be some people here this morning that would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but I've got an NSF on my love account and on my giving account, and I need to get that right. Pray for me. I know it. I can see it in my heart right now. The Holy Spirit of God is revealing it to me. I see the big red NSF on my love account. I see the big NSF on my giving account. And preacher, I need to get right about that. And you say, please. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Who will be honest with God this morning? Say, preacher, that's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. 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 All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm just going to simply ask your Holy Spirit to move today. There are people that need Jesus. Please don't let them leave today with the NSF on their account. Oh, Lord God, would you draw them? Listen, they're here today. Please don't let them walk out not knowing Christ. You sent them here today to hear the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And now you've convicted their heart enough to where they've raised their hand. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd put faith to their feet today, that they would step out in a moment when we begin to sing, and someone will take them aside and show them how to be born into the family of God. Please save souls. Then there were some, Lord, about five or six, that said that they've already been saved and never been baptized. And they need to come this morning and obey the Lord in believers' baptism. Please have your way in their life. And again, put faith to their feet to move this morning to do right. And then so many raised their hand and said, whether it was in their love account or whether it was in their giving account, there was an NSF there. And they're a child of God. I pray that they would come and flood the altars today, fall on our face before a thrice holy God and make it right. Please, please show yourself great in this invitation this morning. We certainly give it all glory and praise to thee, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you join me and stand to your feet? I'm going to ask our instruments to begin to play. Listen, if you raise your hand this morning, you come. We've got folks here that will help you and assist you. If you're a lady and you raise your hand, we've got ladies that will take time out to show you how to be born into the family of God. Don't waste it. Don't waste the time. God sent you here. Would you come? If you're a man, you come. I prayed for you. Would you step out and come on this morning and let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be born again? Come on, this is your opportunity. You come on, come on, come on. This is your opportunity. You come on this morning. Listen, I prayed for you. God's already spoke to your heart. You raised your hand. Come on this morning. Come on, come on. This is your opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. Come on, come on. Terry. All right, we've had several come. This is your opportunity. They're going to sing it through again. Come on, come on, come on. Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. You come on, this is your opportunity. Don't let it pass. Don't let it pass. Hey, listen, don't face God with an NSF on your obedience. This is your opportunity to obey the living God. Many Christians raised their hand this morning and said, preacher, I got an NSF on my account as far as my love account, as far as my giving account. You want to come settle that this morning? This is your opportunity. Don't walk away from God. Don't walk away from the opportunity.
Lord, I'm coming.